Praise God that we are saved by grace through faith. We had a Mustang one time, bright yellow. If you've ever driven a sports car, they tend to stand out. If you've been driving down a road and went by a flashy color sports car like a yellow Ford Mustang, you know it stands out. I venture to say that when we had that Mustang, that if there was a radar gun nearby, would have gotten clocked, I'm sure. Would have gotten hit with the radar. My wife, she drives like life is a race and second place is no option. However, her husband gets made fun of for his putt-putting around like a grandpa. I tend to drive a little slower than she does. But you'll never guess who got pulled over for speeding in our 2006 yellow Mustang. It was me. I was driving on a road that was unfamiliar to us, and well, the speed limit was 55, and then suddenly it was 45, and about from here to the door, it went from 45 to 35. It was one of those spots, I think they've been cleverly named speed traps, and sure enough, I got trapped. So he clocked me at somewhere in the range of 53 and a 35. So I got pulled over. And talking to the police officer there, he could have given me a ticket. Instead, he saw my license, saw that I was from out of town, and decided to let me off with a warning. I didn't get a speeding ticket. Somehow or another, my wife has also avoided speeding tickets over her driving time. Which, of course, I guess if you spend as little time as that on the road as she does, you might not run by any cops. But anyway, I received grace when I had earned a ticket. We look at this passage here in Ephesians chapter 2 that we just read, and some things stick out in my mind. Right at the beginning, we see there, dead in trespasses and sins because of following the course of this world. It says that we follow the prince of the power of the air. We follow the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. What Paul says there, we would say something along the lines of going with the crowd, going with the flow, or doing what the world does. Romans 12 verse 2 would probably say that we are dead in our sins and trespasses because we've conformed to this world. It says also in there that we, there in verse 3, we live among people who pursue the passions of flesh. And that are by nature children of wrath. These are the words Paul uses in description of following after sins. Showing the circumstance that we're in, the problem that we have, the demise that we're in. But then he says in verse 4, two words, but God. It's a turning point right there. Something changed. But God, being rich in mercy. But God loved us even when we were dead. But God made us alive. God saved us by grace. When looking at this topic, I did what any thorough researcher would do looking at a topic. I Googled it, of course. So when I Googled grace, I pulled up a definition. The free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. If you Google grace, that's what you'll get to. The free, unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowal of blessings. I want to take a second this morning to look at this definition and to look at four key words. Four key words here in this definition. The very first one is unmerited. That also, I decided to take the route of thorough research, and I Googled that as well. Unmerited says not deserved or earned. You know, in life we receive a lot of things that we do not deserve. We also receive a lot of things we do deserve. You know, if we work hard at our jobs, we deserve a paycheck. If we speed and get caught speeding, breaking the law, and we get a ticket, well, that's something we've earned. When I was 18 years old, my mom gave me a task one time. Spring break, my senior year. We had, I grew up on a dirt road in the woods. In a trailer, we had a good block of land around us, and we had, at some point, close to spring break, had cut a tree down, a big pine tree. Although the big pieces of the pine tree had been cut up and taken off, there were still a lot of limbs. And so living out in the country, what we did with limbs and leaves and things like that, we piled them up and burned them. So we had a burn pile. And when I was 18 years old, my mom called me on spring break, Thursday, about 9 o'clock in the morning. She wanted me to gather up all the sticks and limbs and burn them to clean up the yard. So that was my task for the day. Well, I told her, I said, Mom, I think it's a little too dry and it's really windy. You sure I need to do this? You sure it's going to be okay? Oh, yeah, yeah, just put it in the burn pile. It'll be fine. Well, I piled them up, lit the sticks up, and turned to grab a few more sticks to add to it. And when I turned back around, it was about 10 feet from where it started. And I turned around and dropped the sticks and turned back around. It was about halfway across the yard, headed towards a big pine plantation. And when it was all said and done, I had burned approximately 6.5 acres of land. Thankfully, no houses were damaged. The only property damaged was some of the lumber company they had, the pine plantation. And let me tell you, I was, again, 18 years old, senior high school. I had lined up and been accepted and lined up a few scholarships at Faulkner University. And all I could think about was that I was going to jail for setting a forest fire. Well, the gentleman who helped contain the fire, he assured me I was not in trouble. I didn't even face a fine. But in my mind at that moment, I knew that I felt like what I had earned was going to be bad. It was a mistake I'd made. I still won't blame. I'm not willing to blame my mama for it, even though she did tell me to do that. We won't go to that extent, though. But what I felt like I had earned was trouble. And instead I got, you know, it's okay. I think he felt kind of sorry for me. I had taken a pine top and tried to keep it off the neighbor's house and off my house. And so I was covered in black soot, disgusting, tired, and worried. So I think he felt bad for me, but didn't get in trouble and felt like I had earned it. I'd earned it. You know, one thing about grace, it's really with God, it's really not until we realize how bad we need it that it's there for us. Because as long as we feel like we don't need grace, we won't accept it. It's the moment we realize what we've earned and the trouble we're in that we need grace. And that's the moment that God hands it to us and says, no, you don't have to suffer for things you've done. My son already has. That's unmerited. Unearned. Now, if we evaluate closely the things that we've earned in this life, it's a different story, but we can really appreciate grace. The next key word I would like to look at is favor. Again, Mr. Google said that a favor is approval or liking. I thought that was interesting there to see that those two words, I guess, synonymous with favor. When I thought of favor, I thought of not just liking, but maybe even accepting over something else, someone else. And in a sense, when God gives us favor, He's really accepting us as we are over who we were. Because once we've taken on that grace and taken on the blood of Christ, He no longer looks at us as sinners, but He looks at us as His Son. When He sees us, He sees His Son. And that's approval. That's liking. The Bible teaches that sin cannot be in the presence of God. When we separate ourselves, really, from God by sin, it's not because He wants a separation. It's really that the fact that the sin can't exist in His presence. It's not something He desires. He obviously doesn't desire it because He went to very extreme measures to make sure that it was available, possible for us to be with Him. So He doesn't want that separation. But sin, when it exists in our lives, can't be in the presence of God. So it's by the grace of God that we can have that sin erased, that we can have that sin washed away, and that when He looks at us, it's not the sin that separates us, it's His Son that has brought us into His presence. And that's where we get to the third key word there, salvation. Salvation is deliverance from harm. That's pretty simplistic right there. Deliverance from harm is salvation. We know how much bigger that is. If you consider the different possibilities for harm, deliverance from harm. You know, it would have been harmful to my bank account to have to pay a bill, to pay a fine, a ticket. So I was delivered from harm by this kind police officer in Lineville, Alabama, at 11:30 p.m. I was delivered from harm by him not giving me a ticket. But that harm is nothing compared to other things, like the fireman, volunteer fireman, who assured me that my collegiate life was not in jeopardy. Or even greater harm that could come about if we stumble in our walk with Christ. Because really the biggest harm that could befall us is to be separated from God. No matter what harm happens here on earth, the separation between us and God, that's the biggest harm. And salvation in this sense, in this case, talking about the subject of grace and our relationship with God, the deliverance from eternal harm is the greatest gift the world has ever seen. It's the best thing that we could receive. It's the best thing we've been offered. And you know, I still have one more key word there, blessings. And now we talk about salvation, and a lot of times we think of that as the culmination. That's the big moment. That's the climactic point in our life, is salvation. And I agree, it is. But we can't stop there. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard the story of someone who was baptized to receive salvation, but then they were kind of just left on their own, not trained from that point, and fell away. We do a really good job of emphasizing the need to get people to accept Christ and be baptized. But we often neglect to help them walk with Christ once they've been baptized. Salvation is just the beginning. When we receive that gift, that is only the beginning of our walk with Christ. It's a lot more to come. And that, I like, just coincidentally, that Mr. Google put blessings there at the end. He could have switched it up and put salvation at the end. But put blessings there at the end. God's favor and protection. That was what was described as blessings. God's favor and protection. Once we have accepted that grace, we then are within God's favor, which we've already covered that word favor and protection. Does that mean we're going to have a perfect life here on earth, that nothing bad is going to happen to us? No, that's not the case at all. God can use us in whatever state we're in, and we can be of use for Him in whatever situation we're in. And whatever happens to us, we know that eventually is our home in heaven waiting for us. So to wrap things up this morning, after looking at these key words, I want to now turn over to another writing of Paul. And this is a longer conclusion than I usually use. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5. I want to read with you this morning Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And keep in mind, think about the transition we talked about in the last text. We talked about being dead in trespasses, following after the ways of this world, the prince of the air, the spirit, now at work in the sons of disobedience. We talked about how we, as sinners, once lived among the world. We did the things the world does, chasing after the desires of the flesh. And then we had that two word, the transition, but God was rich in mercy, but God loved us when we were dead. God made us alive, and God saved us by grace. Think of that transition there. That should be an image of a repentant sinner. All right, that's what we're looking at. Now, Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith in this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous man, though perhaps a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled by God, to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Right there, Paul paints a picture of someone who is saved by grace. He paints a picture of a life that someone who has dedicated themselves to Christ, to be a follower of Christ. It says that we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Then he goes on to say we rejoice in suffering because suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And then character brings us right back to hope. We are who we are because of the hope we have in Christ. We are who we are because we've been saved by the grace of God, which has given us that hope that we have through Christ. This morning, I hope you can look at your life and see that transition. I hope you can look at your life and see that you, at one point in your life, acknowledge the fact that you need grace. Until we acknowledge that fact, we can't change. And I hope that you can look at your life, and after you have seen where you've made that decision, I hope you can say, I've accepted that grace. I've acknowledged my sin. I have confessed my faith, repented of my sins, and been baptized. If you have not taken those steps, I hope that you'll consider doing that this morning. And if you have taken those steps, but even after that moment you've been saved, you've fallen away, I hope that you'll come back. The world needs us to show them the light of Christ and the love of Christ. Today, I hope that if you have a change you need to make, you'll make that change. If you have a change, please come while we stand and while we sing.